Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger. And as I start out this morning, happy birthday to the greatest nation in the world, our great America. May God's richest blessing be upon America today. The good old USA, folks, and we need to celebrate our birthday, and we're going to be doing that through our service. You tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tune me in at by Ionia, WION 1430 AM 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and Ionia is now heard on 100.3 FM in the Low Ada area, so we welcome you. You've tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com, and that's at 10 o'clock. Others have tuned in by the way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse there, and it'll highlight the current media. And then click on that current media, and it takes you to the storage place I have for this morning's message. And you can tune in that anytime you so desire. You can either download it, if you know how to do that, or just click and you can hear it right there. However way you join me, I'm glad to have you with us this morning. I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Wednesday morning. And it is a beautiful Wednesday morning. The lake is gorgeous. It's got about half of it is as calm and clear as can possibly be. And it's just a nice sunny morning this morning. And the weather has warmed up, and I'm grateful and thankful for that. And so we're just going to have a good time together today as we look into the Word of God. And we're going to keep on praying for our nation and asking that God's richest blessing would rest upon our nation. Well, as we begin, I got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is doing the very same thing. It's going to say, God bless America. And we're going to hear that many times through the course of this song, because that is something very special to my heart, that I want God's richest blessing to be upon this great nation, America. And as we listen in, I hope it'll kind of prepare our hearts for our message time together, and that God would minister to us each in our individual need and just go with us in whatever we need today. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments and we'll share the message for today. God bless you.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my
That's my prayer, folks, for this morning. God bless America. God be with this great nation and minister to us this morning, even through your word. I would like to have us have a prayer. I want to remember America this morning and our leaders. But I also want to remember you, the listening audience. You're the ones that I'm here for. You're the ones that I'm reaching out to this morning. So let's just have a moment of prayer. Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we come with the words of that song that we heard so many times. God, would you bless America? God, would you meet our needs as a nation today according to your divine and holy will? God, would you use our nation in the world today the way you want, a desire for us to be known and to do the things that we need to do. I want to pray for our president. I want to pray for all the political leaders, that you would give them the wisdom to lead us today in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. I want to pray for each one of us as an American citizen, that you would bless us with that idea of faith and trust in you. May it not just be a phrase on our money, trust in the Lord, but may it be a part of each one of our individual lives. And Father, I want to bring it closer to home as I think about the listening audience. I pray for anyone that's tuned my voice in this morning, you'll be pleased to bless and minister to them in a very special way. And I pray, Father, you would help us to have upon our hearts and minds the thought that we want you, Father, you, God Almighty, to bless America. And then we want you to bless us as Americans. You want to meet every one of our needs according to your will. So I pray for the listening audience that you would just bless them, rather it is a physical need this morning. Maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's an emotional need. Dear Father, maybe it's a family need. Maybe it's just that they're just totally discouraged and they need encouragement this morning. They need comfort. They need that strength, Father, that comes from you. So I pray for the listening audience that you'll be pleased to minister to them according to their individual need. Now, Father, come and honor your word. Speak to our hearts about our nation. Give us a renewed desire to pray for this great nation, that you might just use us in the way that you want to use us. And I'll pray all these favors in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. The message today is 4th of July, celebrating freedom in a complex society. Well, I got to tell you, I think our society has become very complex. But I still want to say, happy birthday, America. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to be bringing you to the throne of grace and asking God's special blessing. I want to give you just a little bit of history, which every now and then I like to look up. Independence Day is a federal holiday in the United States, paying attention to our Declaration of Independence of the United States on July the 4th, 1776. The Continental Congress declared that the 13 American colonies were no longer subject to the monarchy of Britain, and they were now united, free, and independent states. The Congress had voted to declare Independence Day 2 days early on July 2, but it was not declared until July the 4th. Years ago, a group of determined men gathered in Philadelphia to sign a document. The months preceding the meeting had been filled with turmoil, but the challenge of these men faced only strengthened them in their resolve. They did not take this action lightly. It could have been easily jeopardized their own individual life. I came across this study time. My study time, I wanted to pass it on to you. As our foundation for this week's thoughts are celebrating freedom in a complex society. The Bible talks a lot about freedom, the liberty that God provides for his people, no matter what country they reside in. As our nation celebrates its political freedom, the Independence Day, consider meditating on what the Scripture says about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he provided for us in spiritual freedom. When he came and he was born, he lived, he died, and he rose again, that we might have the spiritual freedom that each one of us need as an individual. Got four Bible verses I want to share with you for just a moment on this thought. First of all, Christ has set us free. Stand then as a free people, and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. He said, God's Son sets you free. Stand in that freedom, and do not allow yourself. I like that, saying you gotta pay attention to what's happening in your life so you don't become a slave to something else. So you've been a slave, and we'll go on with that in just a moment. You know what he says? The sovereign Lord has filled me with his Spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce and release the captivity and the freedom to those in prison. He's reminding us that's the reason Jesus came. That's in Isaiah 61. And then in the book of Romans chapter 6:22, but now you have been set free from sin and are the slaves of God. If you want to become a slave, he's saying, become a slave of God, doing what you can for the kingdom of God. Your gain is a full dedication to him, and the result is eternal life. That's what God wants for us. You know, the last verse I want to share with you in this thought is, there is no condemnation now to those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life, is union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. You know that verse I read to you in the book of Isaiah? When Jesus one day came to his hometown, and they thought they ought to have him read a little something, so they gave him the scroll. And he found a place in Isaiah 61 where it says, the sovereign Lord has filled me with his Spirit. He had chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to release the captivity. You know, when Jesus got done reading that, you know what he said? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus is saying what Isaiah 61 was predicting. Jesus is saying, I am he that it was talking about. I got to tell you, his hometown didn't like it. They kind of got in an uproar. They even probably would have killed him if he wouldn't have disappeared from them. But we need to know. That's the reason Jesus came, to give us spiritual freedom. And when we have spiritual freedom, that allows us, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening in our society, that allows us to be able to face the things in society much differently when we have that spiritual freedom. Because I'm thinking this morning of the complexity of our society. And I'm going to share some things that show that no matter what's going on in the society, when we're trusting this one Jesus in our life, we can have freedom amongst the turmoil. We can have freedom amongst all of the fears and everything else that's happening right around us. And yet at the same time, we can have that freedom because of our faith and trust in this one Jesus who came to set us free. And that's an important lesson for us today, because I believe it makes a lot of difference when you and I claim to be a Christian, claim to believe in this one Jesus, it makes a difference in what kind of an American we're going to be. So we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate freedom in a complex society. We have been set free by Jesus, no matter what is going on in our society. We'll be the people of God, and we'll be the people God wants us to be. Listen to what Paul shared with the people of God that were Christians under the dictatorship of the Roman leaders. You see, we forget sometimes that when Jesus was born into this world, the Jewish people were under the dictatorship of the Roman government. And God has some things to share with them. And this is what God says in the book of Romans chapter 12. He says, bless those who persecute you. That's hard to do, folks. But he said, that's what I want you to do. Bless them and don't curse them. Bless them, he's saying. You and I, as a believer in Christ, are to be a blessing to America. Be happy with those who are happy. Be sad with those who are sad. The easier way that was put in the King's aim, it says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Live in harmony, he's saying. Sometimes that's even hard to pull about in a family unit, let alone in a whole nation. And we know there's a lot of disharmony in our nation today. That's what makes it complex today. Many other things that make it complex. You know what he goes on to say? Don't be arrogant, but be friendly. And be a humble people. Don't think that you're smarter than you really are. Don't pay back evil with evil that they did to you. Focus your thoughts on these things that are considered noble as much as it is possible. Now, here's the challenge. As much as it is possible, live in peace with everyone. Isn't it always a turmoil thing in your life when you're at war with other people? I think God is saying, you know what? We need to fly the truce flag. We need to realize that God is saying, I want you to be this kind of an American. We know what he's saying in the Roman to the Jewish people under Roman dictatorship. He's saying, this is the way I want you to behave, even though you're under dictatorship. Even though your nation is under the control of the Roman government. I want you to realize that I want you to be in harmony. I want you to realize I don't want you to be an arrogant people. I want you to be a friendly people. I don't want you to act like you're smarter than everybody else or even smarter than you know you are. There's a lot in that verse. Focus your thoughts on those things that are considered noble. He's trying to get us. God is telling us that there'll be a different kind of person than the complex society we live in. He wants us to be different in that society. He's telling us if we are not a part of the problem of society, he wants us to be a part of the healing of society. May I say that again? If we're not a part of the problem of America today, he wants us to be a part of the healing of America. Bless, don't curse means from your heart. Want things to go well with them now and forever. He's saying that's what kind of attitude I want you to have as you live in this American nation. This is because of the inner change of God that's brought about when you have freedom in your heart, freedom from your sins. When you realize that you've been set free by Jesus, even though you're living in a complex society. Does that make sense? Who is a believer in Christ? He's a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A way of life has become into a new way of life has come into existence. God has done all this. He's restored our relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of restoring other relationships. In other words, God was using Christ to bring about restoration in my life to God. And now he says, I want you to be a part of restoration to other people's life. That's the part that we play in the healing process. That's the part that he says, no matter how complex the society gets, no matter how difficult it gets, he's saying, I want you to understand that this can be such a blessing in your life. Then Paul tells us how to celebrate freedom in a complex society in 2019, in our American way of life. As much as it is possible, live in peace with everyone. Remember when Jesus was doing the Beatitudes? When he was speaking his sermon on the mountainside, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. You know who seems to get the most attention today in our society? Is the troublemakers. I don't want to be a part of a troublemaker. I want to be a part of the peacemakers. I want to try to bring about some things from my life that can help somebody else. That should be the desire of each one of us. You know, there's a portion of scripture in the book of Proverbs. It's the 16th chapter and the 7th verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he, God, makes even the enemies to be at peace with him. I love that. You know, he's saying in your walk and my walk, in our everyday walk, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what God is looking for as we think about God bless America. Happy birthday, America. God's saying the present that we can bring to America in 2019 is to walk as a free person that's been set free by Jesus Christ. And you want to be a part of the healing. And you don't want to be a troublemaker. But you want to bring about some progress within the nation that you're a part of. I think that's so important for us to get a hold of, because that's something that God wants us to understand is possible and is what he wants to do in and through each one of us. So again, I say we're going to celebrate the 4th of July. We're celebrating the freedom that we have in a complex society. God has shared with us this freedom comes when we trusted Jesus. And now he wants us to be a part of the healing rather than being a troublemaker. I believe as a Christian to be a part of the healing, God wants us to be the one, even though there is so much division in our society today. We learn how Jesus was doing his ministry, even through the Jewish people, when they were under the Roman leadership. But there was also other division. And that other division came as a result of the religious leaders. Listen to what happened one day. The Pharisees went and they plotted how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. Jesus was a pretty busy teacher now, and he'd got big crowds of people were following him. And the Pharisees, that's one of the religious groups. There was Sadducees and Pharisees and other religious groups, or Herodians. There was lots of religious groups in Jesus' day. And they kind of joined forces, so to speak, and they were going to send some people to see if they could trick Jesus, catch him in what he was saying. So now listen to what they did. And I got to tell you, this kind of thing has gotten worse through the years. Teacher, they came and said, we know that you are true and that you teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone For you do not regard the person of men. You just speak the truth no matter who it's to. You give the truth, and it's a beautiful thing that you do, is what they're saying. But remember, they're going there to trick him. And they're saying all these nice things about him. So then they say, tell us, therefore, what do you think, Jesus? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I love it that the Bible says, Jesus perceived their wickedness, and he said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? He said, show me some tax money. Show me a coin. We'll get to that in just a minute. But what I want us to think about now is this idea of these men setting up Jesus, religious people, trying to trick Jesus in what he's teaching and trying to get him to say something that he doesn't really say. I want you to see the danger of having hidden agendas. Isn't that true today within our nation? There's so many hidden agendas. That's what's making this political world in such a turmoil. As these religious leaders played the part of the two-faced, Jesus called them a hypocrite. And the reason he did that, on one side of their face, so to speak, he was a hypocrite, was a two-faced person. On one side of the face, they're telling him nice things. They're telling, you're a good teacher. You speak the truth, and it don't matter who you're speaking to. You tell it like it is. That's what they're saying one time, on one side of the face. And then on the hypocrite side, on the other side of the face, they're there to trick him, to catch him in his word, so they can have something to say against him. Teacher, we know that you're a good teacher and all that, they said. You don't regard a person? I'm so glad that Jesus caught them, and I'm so glad that he stopped them. They were plotting to bring any kind of hurt to him because they had their own personal agenda. You know what, folks? In America today, there will always be those that have their own personal agenda in every group of people. If we want to be a part of the healing of America, it will never happen when we only can see our concern, when we can only see our agenda. In the political world, you know what that's called? Special interest groups. And there's a lot of special interest groups. And so we need to realize that's what's causing the difficulty. We will be a part of the healing process when our agenda becomes God's agenda. May I say that again? We'll be a part of the healing group, the healing people in America, when our agenda becomes God's agenda. When you and I get on the same page with God, I believe good things can happen. With all of my heart, I want to see God, the blessing of God upon America. But if God is going to bless us as a nation, I think we must link up to his agenda. And God's agenda is that people might be set free from inside so they can enjoy the freedom that they can have within whatever situation of complexity they find themselves in. Someone has said this, when God is the reason to live, you never have a reason to quit. And when God becomes the reason for you and I to be the best American that we can possibly be, we will never have a reason to quit, folks. Going to have us listen to a song, and we're going to spend the last part of our time talking about prayer. Soon as we find a realization that we're to render to God the things that's of God and to render to our nation the things that's our nation's. But we got this song I want us to listen to. It's saying, somebody's praying me through. That's an old statement. That's an old kind of way of speaking, praying me through. It's kind of like what Jesus said when he said, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. This song is reminding us that we need to have somebody that is praying constantly. They're not giving up. They're going to keep right on praying. They're going to keep right on praying until an answer comes. And that, I believe, comes from the Christian people. I'll be right back, and we'll share the rest of the message.
Pressing over me like a big blue sky. I know someone has me on their heart tonight. That's why I know it's gonna be. It might be my dad, or an old friend I forgot I had. But whoever it is, I'm so glad that somebody's praying me through. Yeah. Somebody's praying.
You know, it's so good to know that somebody's praying you through a difficult time in your life. When you're going through some difficulty, when your life has become complex. Because you see, sometimes we not only live in a complex society, sometimes our life becomes complex. And we're wondering which way to turn and which way to go. And it's always good to know that you got somebody who's praying for you. I want to turn that towards Happy Birthday, America. We need people praying for America. We need people praying for our political leaders, our state leaders. We need people that are praying that God will give them the wisdom to lead. So that brings us to the rest of the part of that time when these men came, these religious people, came and they tried to kind of trick Jesus or to catch him in his speech. After Jesus said to them, why are you being a hypocrite trying to catch me? Show me a coin. He couldn't even reach in his pocket and say, here's a coin. He said, show me a coin. And they brought him one of the coins, and Jesus said to them, whose likeness or inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then Jesus said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. What's so hard about understanding that? You're asking me, should you pay taxes? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Then he went on to say, and render to God the things that are God's. He's saying those people, you're not getting it. You're trying to trick me, and I'm trying to teach you to render to God what is God's. You know what it says about them people that day? When they heard it, they marveled. They marveled, and they left him, and they went away. You know what? They seemed like they were defeated. But why was that to happen in the first place? As I mentioned just a few moments ago, they had their own agenda. I love it when Jesus said, show me a coin for paying taxes. He made them get involved. Then he asked, whose picture's on that? You know, today we would need to render to America the things that are America. Freedom did not come cheap, and freedom is not maintained cheap. It costs something. And I want to tell you that I believe what God is saying, you got to be sold out to your country. You got to realize that you need to do that. I love another story that involved taxes, so to speak, and Peter and Jesus. One day, Jesus and Peter were united to go into the temple. And Jesus' the disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collection of the two coins they needed for temple tax. The people came to Peter and they asked, does your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. When Peter came to the house, Jesus was the first to speak to him. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duties and taxes, from their own children or from others? From others, Peter said. That's what was the system then. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we do not cause offense. Now listen, this is Jesus talking. Sometimes some people, even as Christians, believe their job is to cause offense. But Jesus says, we don't want to cause offense. So listen to what he said, and I love this. This is a fish story, folks. Go to the lake throughout your line and take the first fish you catch. Open its mouth, and you will find the coins we need to pay the temple tax. And you go. And you pay your tax and my tax with that coins. That's pretty special, folks, of what Jesus was saying was necessary. It was necessary, he said, not to cause offense. It don't mean we have to tiptoe around as American citizens, but I think he's trying to tell us that we need to understand that we don't want to be a part of the problem. We want to be a part of the cure. We want to be that which can help America, not that which hinders America. And you know what Jesus said? The bottom line was, you go back to the book of Revelation, almost to the end of the book, when Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. I think God's going to tell us something now, folks, from this last book of Revelation. He's going to remind us that when he comes, when he comes, he's not only going to reward us, I don't believe, how we was as a Christian, but he's going to reward us how we lived as an American, a part of the country that we are part of. Jesus didn't leave it with these religious leaders. He said, render to God the things that are God's. That's where those religious leaders were failing. I love what God reminds us about when he said, render to God the things that are God, because you know what he says? And behold, I'm coming quickly in the book of Revelation, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his works. I got to tell you, folks, those religious people that are trying to trick Jesus, I wouldn't have wanted their reward if Jesus really was going to get after them, so to speak. There's a verse in the book of Romans that is so powerful. I want us to think about this, and then I'm just going to spend the rest of my time talking about you and I praying for America. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, God says pay taxes. If you owe revenue, pay the revenue. If you owe respect, pay the respect. If you owe honor, pay honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continual debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. You know what God's saying? He wants us as Americans to be in love with America. We got problems as a nation. We got difficulties we're facing as a nation. But I got to tell you, God gives us some insight in his word. And so I want to spend the rest of the time I have in sharing with you what I believe is a part of bringing about the cure for America. What I believe we need more people to do, what I believe we have less people doing, and that is that you and I are praying for America in this complex society. Listen to what he tells the young pastor Timothy, the Apostle Paul speaking. Therefore, Timothy, I exhort you first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. He said, I want you to have supplication, that's deep prayer, all prayers, intercession, when you're interceding on behalf of somebody else, I want you to pray that kind of prayer with thanksgiving, be made for all men, and in the names, for kings, for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and reverence. He's saying, you know what? As a Christian, I want you to be praying for your leaders. I want you to be praying for those that are authority over you. And I want you to lead a quiet and peaceful life. Listen to what he goes on to say. This is good, and this is acceptable in the sight of God. That's what's going to count. In the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. God said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. I want you to do that. In all kinds of prayer, give thanks to God. Give thanks for the president, for the governors, for the Congress, and for the Senate. Give some thanks. It's easy to give the complaints of what we think should be going on and what's against our agenda, so to speak. But he said, how much time are you praying? Let me give you another one. From 1 Peter chapter 2, this is Peter speaking now by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, because you belong to the Lord. Submit yourself to these ordinances. They're not the things you like, rather to the King as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you will be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants, set free servants, still wanting to serve, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's what God is saying to us today. He needs people that are having some submission to the things that are part of our nation. Maybe you don't like every little rule there is, but he's saying submit to those things. This brings good. This way you can be a benefit and not just a troublemaker. Not just somebody to describe your own gender, so to speak. Even when the Jewish nation was in captivity, they had been taken captivity because of their sinfulness. And when they were in captivity, God tells them to do something. Now, they were under a dictatorship at that time. They had very little freedom, folks. But way back in the book of Jeremiah, God is saying, now you're in captivity, and you're in captivity because of the disobedience of your sins. But I want you to know how to live in captivity. So this is what he said, build houses, dwell in them, plant your gardens, eat the fruit of the garden, take wives, give birth to sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased, you may increase while you're in captivity and not diminished. I want you to keep on keeping on, he's saying. I want you to go on with the everyday life that you've been living. Now listen to what he says. This is a challenge for us today. And seek peace in the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray for the Lord for it in its peace you will have peace. You hear what God's saying? He's saying, I want you to pray for those to the Jewish nation that are holding you captivity. You don't have the very few freedoms. And yet those people that are holding you in captivity, I want you to pray for them. I want you to go on with your life doing the things that you do, having families and having houses and having gardens and all those kinds of things. I want you to go on living. But as you go on living, I want you to pray for those who have captured your life. And even though you are in captivity, I want you to pray for their peace. Because in their peace, you will have peace. Did you hear that? As we pray for peace in America, and we pray for things to happen in this great nation that we're a part of, even though we know we're living in a complex society that maybe has been brought about because of the sinfulness of our peoples, he said, I still want you in that period of time to go on living the best life you can possibly live because you've been set free, even though you're in captivity. You see, the complexity of America and the problems of America don't have to become our personal problems. We can become the one that's going to help the healing of that problem. We can become the one that's going to be used by God to be restoring that one by one as you and I as Christians live the way God wants us to live. He said, that's going to make America a better place. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not. I don't know if you're willing to accept that or not. But I got to tell you, folks, in my 84 years of life, been doing pastoral work for 60 years, I've laid to rest many from World War II. And I got to tell you, I have a tremendous respect for all the men and women that have done so much to give us the freedom that we have. And I've seen the flag be presented to family after family by VFWs and American Legions and so on. But I want to tell you, folks, whenever I see that flag, I want to say I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want to recommit myself today to be the person that God wants me to be as an American citizen. And I trust that you would want to do that too. We're going to listen to a song in closing, and this song is going to remind us that in America, folks, we still trust God. You and I, as a believer, we still trust God. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Have a good day.
Place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments and all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation. We're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust. Now there are those among us who want to push him out and erase his name from everything this country's all about. From the schoolhouse to the courthouse, the silence in his word. It's time for all believers our voices heard. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.